Sadly, we have to return to discuss about the Avelos over the Churban Beis HaMikdash, which means we didn't bring the Beis HaMikdash, so we're still back in that period of mourning. So we have to spend our time learning the halachas of at least the mourning period of the 3 weeks. We could still hope and pray we won't have the 9 days, or hopefully definitely not Tisha B'Av, but right now we still have to deal with the 3 weeks. Mr. Shem, if we're Mekayim, what the Gemara tells us that we're going to take place in the Avelos, we should be Zeichet to see the Nechama as well. So we have to figure out tonight what exactly is not allowed during the 3 weeks. I find that the 3 weeks for many people is a very confusing time. We just had Sfiras Ayim not so long ago where we had those halachas of mourning, and now we're getting with more rules of mourning. What exactly is prohibited? What's not prohibited? I'd like to spend some time tonight discussing what exactly is allowed and what's clearly not allowed. So we'll start first with the Ramon Shulchan Aruch. Now, all the prohibitions that we have during this time period, during the 3 weeks, is not found in the Gemara. It's not found in the Mishnah. The earliest mention of some of these Menhagim are in the Rishonim. As far as the Gemara is concerned, the Avelos of the Churban Beis HaMikdash starts either Rosh Chodesh, the week of Tisha B'Av, Erev Tisha B'Av. But this idea of the 3 weeks that we know today as Bein HaMitzarim did not exist in the times of the Gemara. And it didn't exist in all Rishonim. It existed in some Rishonim, and in many of the Ashkenazic halachas svarim, it became accepted custom, but in the Sfaradish Shapayskim, it didn't. And we'll talk about Bili Neder later, not tonight. Why exactly do I believe that some of the Minhagim that Ashkenazim have are different than the Sfaradim had a lot to do with the way the Ashkenazim lived and the way the Sfaradim lived. The oppression that some groups had and other groups didn't have, I think very much affected how they took the Hilchas of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But we'll start with the Ramon Shulchan Aruch. The Ramon writes in number 1 in Tavkuf Nun Aleph. Tavkuf Nun Aleph is the Siman Shulchan Aruch that has 17 halachas in it. That's the halacha that's the Siman Shulchan Aruch that basically deals with the 3 weeks halachas. So the Ramon writes like this. V'noigim l'hachmim b'tilas rosh chedesh l'nyin kibbutz. We Ashkenazim Jews are machmer starting from Rosh Chodesh with regard to washing our clothing. Avol tispiris, but when it comes to haircuts and shaving, noyagim lahachmer mishivas b'Tammuz. We already start to be machmer from the 17th day of Tammuz. So this is what we all know as Ashkenazim Jews. We all know we're not allowed to take haircuts and shaving starting already from Tuesday Shivas b'Tammuz. However, when it comes to washing our clothing, the Rama writes that we could still do until Rosh Chodesh off. So the Achrayim ask on this Rama that it's very clear from the Gemara in the end of Tainus in the fourth parak that the rules for washing your clothing and the rules for haircuts are the same. The Gemara lumps the two together. Whatever you hold for haircuts, you hold for shaving. Whatever you hold for shaving, you hold for haircuts. The Gemara over there at the end of the fourth parak in Tainus is the three machlokes amarayim. When exactly does the prohibition begin and end? But whatever you hold the same for washing your clothing as you do for haircuts. So the Achrayim ask on the Rama, why does the Rama, when it comes to Psak Halacha, does it come to haircuts, one set of rules, washing your clothing, a different set of rules? Why are we not going consistently like the Gemara says? So there are two answers given in the Achrayim. The Vilna Gaon, in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah as well, he says because it would have been too hard for people not to wash their clothing for 3 weeks. You have to remember, back then people didn't have as much clothing as we have today. Today we have a lot of clothing, so we can go a couple weeks. We can do it. Back then they had one or two clothing and they kept on washing it. So if we were to prohibit washing clothing already from the 3 weeks, people, it would be too hard for people. The Groz Lashon is, it'd be exerish yatu yochalamud, but people would not be able to handle not washing their clothing for 3 weeks. Therefore, the minhag was not to stop washing your clothing only from Rosh Chodesh as opposed to haircuts. That was something people could handle much longer. That was the Vilna Gaon's answer. The Aruch HaShulchan answer is slightly different. The Aruch HaShulchan says, because if we were to aser haircuts starting from Rosh Chodesh Av, it wouldn't be a recognizable Avelos. Because people didn't get haircuts all that often. So if you told someone you can't take a haircut for 9 days, big deal. I only take a haircut every 2 weeks anyways. So it wouldn't be a recognizable showing of Avelos. Therefore, they had to make it earlier already from Shavuos HaBetamos. That's the way the Achrayim explained the Ramah. But in any case, what comes out is, according to Ashkenazim Jewry, haircuts are prohibited already starting from Shavuos HaBetamos. Svardim, on the other hand, didn't adapt to this Chumran. They hold you allowed to take a haircut already, even after Shavuos HaBetamos. So there's an interesting Shaila in contemporary Achrayim, which I don't really understand the Shaila. Is the question is, let's say you're an Ashkenazic barber, would you be allowed to give a haircut to your Sfaradish friend? Again, to me, I don't really hear the Shaila so clearly, but if you look in later Achrayim, they all tumult with the Shaila. Later Achrayim, Shem Zaman Orbach, and they asked this to Nissen Karelis, the Chazanish's nephew. To me, it's not a pasha, it's mutter. I don't really hear the tzad, it shouldn't be a problem. To me, as long as the recipient is allowed to take a haircut, I'm allowed to give him a haircut. So for a Sfaradish Jew who's allowed to take a haircut now, I would be allowed to give it to him. Or let's say, for example, we're going to learn later tonight, there's a heter to take haircuts for Parnassa purposes. So let's say I want to give a haircut. I don't have a job that requires me to take a haircut, so I'm not allowed to take a haircut, but my friend needs to get a haircut because he has a very important meeting at work. Would I be allowed to give him the haircut? So for me, I have an issur to spiros, but for him it's mutter. So Ibsam Zalman in Halicha Shloime writes, number two, he writes, "Umeikaradin mutter levin edas Ashkenazim lasis las at spiros." Mikra, then you can find yourself an Ashkenazic barber even for a Sephardi. Why? Because as long as the person receiving the haircut is allowed to take the haircut, I'm allowed to give it to him. But he writes something interesting. He says, but it's better not to. Since at the end of the day, you as Ashkenazi are not allowed to take haircuts. So therefore, even though the person you're giving it to is allowed to take a haircut, he writes, he should find someone else to give him a haircut. An interesting svara, not really masber too much, I don't really understand it so well, but Rabbi Shlomo Zalman acknowledges that in Lomnus it's mutter, he just doesn't think it's right. L'maisa, you're an Ashkenazic Jew, you're already noig avelus, you shouldn't be giving haircuts even to someone who's allowed to take it. And he writes a bigger chiddush. Let's say you're invited to a svaridish shachasana, someone, a svaridish person is allowed to get married today, tomorrow, or a bunch of days, and you're an Ashkenazi, and he's your Rebbe, so you go to the chasana. So he writes, Rishon Zalman says, you should try not to be Masada Kedushin. Even though, again, we'll learn later tonight, you're allowed to attend the wedding, but if you can find someone else to do it, he thinks it's better. So this, to me, I think is a chiddush from Rishon Zalman Orbach, that really, even though a Svardi, or let's say someone who's allowed to go, who needs to take a haircut for Parnassah purposes, is allowed to take a haircut, he should try to find someone who's also allowed to take the haircut, someone who's also allowed to take the haircut should be the one to give the haircut. That, I think, is a bit of a chiddush from Rishon Zalman. Right, I don't think anyone would make that argument, right? If a guy's not Jewish, of course he'd be allowed to give him a haircut. Yeah, I don't understand why it's such a shaila to me. To me, it's hard to understand. I haven't seen them talk about it in this, in, you know, the flip way of it. I saw that, you know, the Moshe Nitta Gavriel says he's mesupik if you're allowed to get a haircut from an Ashkenazi. That I saw a sefer where some fellow went in and asked him this in Karel, it's a shaila. I don't know, to me, I would have thought it's a davar pashut. You know, as long as the mesaper is doing what's allowed, I wouldn't think it's a problem. Chayra, this comes up a lot of other places. Right? Whenever you have such a thing, right? Whenever you have a scenario for one person it's mutter, for the other person who's getting it done to, how do you look at it? So I would have thought it's a davar pashut that it's mutter. Shlomo Zalman seems to be somewhat hesitant. Rav Soloveitchik has a very famous piece, which is quoted in many places in his name. One place it's quoted in Nefesh HaRav from Reb Shechter, it's quoted also in Shu'ir HaRav, Soloveitchik Shu'ir Manavelus, it's quoted. That Rav Soloveitchik has the following yusayt. Rav Soloveitchik said that the way it's laid out, that we have what's known as the 3 weeks, then the 9 days, then the week of Tisha B'Av, what's known as Shavuot Shechabai, Rav Soloveitchik said that this is copying the idea of real Avelus. We'll look the way Rav Shechter quotes it. In number 3, Nefesh HaRav, he writes, Rabbeinu Hizbar, Soloveitchik explained, Sheminog HaAvelus Mizayim B'Tamas Ve'elachu B'Bchinas HaAvelus Shei B'Ez Chedesh. Soloveitchik said that the 3 weeks that we call the 3 weeks, that has the same rules of Avelus of a 12-month period for someone who lost a parent. Ushvur Shechalboi, and what we know as Shvur Shechalboi, have a B'Bchinas Shloishim. That has the status of what's known as a Shloishim. Ubetishabov Gufa and Tishabov itself, Naigim called Dine Shiva, that follows the exact rules of Shiva. This is a famous insight that Rav Soloveitchik said over. So therefore, Rav Soloveitchik himself said, Vapi Avonazu, Hayasava Shemutal Eskalech Mimas Svira. He held that based on, Rav Soloveitchik said that based on his lumness, it should come out that A, during Svira, and B, during the 3 weeks, it should come out, those people who frequently take haircuts and shave. That therefore, right away after 2 or 3 days, it hit the point of shiiga b'chaveri. If a guy shaves every third day, so after the third day, his friend's gonna say to him, "Hey, you look disheveled. You didn't take a haircut. It looks strange." So therefore, the halacha is just like during your base chaydish. The halacha is someone who's yiga b'chaveri, someone whose friend comments to him that you look like you need a haircut, he's allowed to take a haircut. So Rav Soloveitchik said the fees are both during svira and during the 3 weeks, it has the same status. So if it has the same status, it should follow the same rule, which means lefizeh, if a person takes a person who shaves frequently, after 2 or 3 days, he should be allowed to shave during the 3 weeks. However, writes of Soloveitchik, but that only gets you during the 3 weeks. But once he hits Rosh Chodesh Av, then it already gets more chum. That was the opinion of Rav Soloveitchik. So according to him, right, so Yigal B'Chaveri is going to take much longer for a haircut.
Yeah,
right. So for shaving, this would be much more helpful for those people who shave much more frequent. So according to Rav Soloveitchik, they'd be allowed to shave. Now again, this is not because of Parnassa. That's Rav Moshe's heter. Rav Soloveitchik wasn't working with, yeah, the heter because of Parnassa. He was working Stamazai. That the lumness of Svira and the 3 weeks is the lumness of Yud Beis Chedish. By Yud Beis Chedish, there's a rule of Sheyigah B'Chaveri. And therefore, according to this, it would come out that it would be mutter. However, he writes over here, but from Rosh Chodesh until Tisha B'Av, that's like Shloishim, then it doesn't work. So it comes out that according to Rav Soloveitchik, a person who shaves frequently, now, if a person shaves frequently, so you just have to make sure you got to at least a couple of days of Yigal B'Chaveira. And if a guy took a shave on Monday night, he wouldn't be allowed to shave Tuesday morning, the day afterwards. There's no Yigal B'Chaveira yet. He'd have to wait till, I don't know, maybe Thursday, Friday. Let's say a guy's last shave was Monday afternoon. So by the time he gets to Friday already, then by then he probably looks already like he needs a shave. So then by then it would be mutter. So according to that, it comes out that if a person shaves frequently, he'd be allowed to shave up till, says Rav Soloveitchik, only up till Rosh Chodesh Av. Once you hit Rosh Chodesh Av, then it's like Shloshim. Shloshim is no het of Yigal B'Chaveira, then you stop. That was the opinion of Rav Soloveitchik. Many people bring riots to Rav Soloveitchik's Yisoid in Achronim. Rabbi Willig brings a riot from a Ramban. But Rav Shechter in another Seif, Ikve Hatzoin, he brings a riot to Rav Soloveitchik's Yisoid from an interesting task. There's an interesting shayla, can a person cut their nails during the 3 weeks? So halacha l'maisa, we assume yes. There is a minority opinion in Rishonim that hold you can't. But we don't pask like that. We assume that during the 3 weeks, there's no question you can cut your nails. There is a machloik, it's achreinim, what about Shavu Shechal Beit Tishba? But Rav Shechter brought the following raya, number four. That there's an interesting taz. The taz writes that you're not allowed to cut your fingernails starting from Rosh Chodesh, but during the 3 weeks it's mutter. V'afil l'mashenogu iser b'tisvayis b'tzayim b'tamuz. Even though we're knowing not to cut our hair from Shavu b'tamuz, you'd be allowed to cut your fingernails. So Rav Shechter said, what's pshan the taz? Why is there a difference between cutting your hair and cutting your fingernails? So he says it's very geshmak. The reason is based on Reb Kivega. Kivega brings from Halachas Ketanis that the netilas sipernayim shari terchi beis chaydish. The halach is that cutting your fingernails are mutter during your beis chaydish. The rak b'shloishim also, it's only also during shloishim. Oh! Says Rav Shechter, it's beautiful. Why? Because we just got finished saying that during the 3 weeks of the status of Yud Beis Chodesh. So if it's like Yud Beis Chodesh, you're allowed to cut your nails. But once you get into after Rosh Chodesh, then it becomes like Shloshim. Oh, during Shloshim, you're not allowed to cut your fingernails. So that's why the Taz holds, you're not allowed to cut your fingernails after Rosh Chodesh, but you may cut your fingernails during the 3 weeks. So that's his raya to Rav Soloveitchik's Yisoid from this Taz. In any case, it comes out, according to Rav Soloveitchik, for those people who shave frequently, they would be allowed to do so during the 3 weeks. Rav Moshe has a different tshuva. Rav Moshe has two tshuvas about it. I quoted one over here. Rav Moshe is his famous tshuva in Igros Moshe Chelek Talit. Rav Moshe writes the following. A person has a specific job. If he won't shave his beard, he'll lose out money if he doesn't shave. Says Rav Moshe, oh, it's mutter. Then he's allowed to shave. Because this minog of not taking haircuts was never in a case where it would cause a person a loss. Avo b'shvur shechal boy tishibov, Zokter Moshe, when it comes to shvur shechal boy, then also medina. Shvur shechal boy is not a minog, it's medina de gemara. Then it's also, there's no hetter, even if you're going to lose money. So it comes out, according to Rav Moshe, for panasa purposes, you'd be allowed to shave only up to shvur shechal boy. But not past Shavu Shechal Boy. According to Rav Soloveitchik, it comes out that if you shave all the time, you'll only be able to shave up to Rosh Chodesh. Pashtus, Rav Soloveitchik doesn't have this heter of for Letzarech Parnasa. His heter is everyone could do it because there's no prohibition in the first place. But according to Rav Soloveitchik, it comes out that once you hit Rosh Chodesh, then you're stuck. As opposed to Rav Moshe, you have a little long, you'd have up to Shavu Shechal Boy. So it comes out, according to Rav Moshe, a person needs to, for his malacha, again, you have to ask yourself honestly what exactly this means if you don't shave Yilei Hefsin Moment. That's a tough call to make today with all that's going on in society. But clearly Rav Moshe held that that would be a heter to shave. But again, even according to Rav Moshe, it's only up to Shavu Shechal
Boy. By the way, I don't remember if you once said or I heard it somewhere else. The Hefsin moment doesn't have to mean if you don't shave today,
yeah,
you're getting this deal, but it can mean in the future.
Yeah, we always talk about exactly what Hefsin moment means. Does it mean minias revach? Does it mean you won't gain money later? It means you'll actually get docked the salary, or it means you won't move up in the chain of business. It's hard to be magdir exactly what Hefsin moment means. Hefsin moment doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to take money out of your wages. It could mean Hefsin moment that means you'll along the way you might lose. It's right. It's hard to know exactly, you know, which jobs and which case this falls under. I think a person has to ask before figuring out how to define it. But if you feel that your job fits in this criteria, then according to Rav Moshe, it would be mutter.
Who established the minhag? It wasn't in the time of the
Gemara? No, absolutely not.
So then this is now Achronim?
Actually? This is Rishonim. This is found already in the Rishonim. The Rishonim already. That's right.
Whatever it is, we're going to go ahead and impose a
minhag. Right.
That could have, I guess, but that, effects.
Right, so that's Rav Moshe's argument. Rav Moshe said they never made this.
Like, I mean, do they do anything else like that?
Yeah, that's this whole idea of this time of Avelos, which is...
Okay, but where else do they do this? Where else would they have a chash? Like, even the main sphere, I don't know...
What right, same idea.
That's
right,
not even almost a period of Avelos, that's just a period of...
Right, that was the same thing. We had the same trouble when we learned Avelos then, that how do they have the right to do it? To me, always the more troubling question is, how do they have the right to tell people not to make weddings? That's stopping people from doing mitzvahs.
Right,
right?
You know,
Right? That's where it really gets to troublesome.
Is that why the Sephardim don't hold?
It's very possible why for weddings they didn't adapt it. I think there might be other cultural reasons that hopefully we'll get to. But this is the opinion of Rav Moshe. What's included in shaving or cutting your hair? So many achrayim, Rav Moshe included, held that's including any hair on your body. Rav Shlomo Zalman had an interesting kula. Rav Shlomo Zalman held that merita sarese ayin oisar hagabois. If you want to, a person, a male or female, wants to either cut their eyebrows or their eyelashes. So Rav Shlomo Zalman held that's not considered tesperus and it's mutter. That was the opinion of Rav Shlomo Zalman. They quoted it also like that in Rav Shmuel Vosner. But Rav Moshe is quoted as saying it doesn't matter. They're all not allowed in the same halacha. But Rav Shlomo Zalman was of the opinion that that part of here is not included. Yeah, the also and all will be the same thing as well. That's what he writes at the bottom. It's also, he holds his mamish not including the issur of tesperus. An interesting shayla that comes up, I was just talking to someone about this yesterday. What about cutting shaitels? Many women want to get the shaitels done during the 3 weeks. Would you be allowed to cut and do work to a shaitel? So the Mitzvah Gavriel writes in number 7, Bein HaMitzarim, Ad Rosh Chodesh Av, Rashayis Isha LeKatzer or LeTaken HaPei Nochris. Should be allowed to cut or fix a shaitel. And that's not included in the Isser of cutting here. The Debretzina Rav, the Be'er Moshe, has an interesting tshuva where he quotes the same Lomdus. He, over there in that tshuva, he was talking about Chol HaMoed. Right, there's the same isser to cut here on chalamite. Let's say a lady wants to cut a shait on chalamite. So he writes the same lomdus. He says, the prohibition of cutting here are those hairs that are attached to the body. Not if you have a sheitel, which is detached here from the body, that's not including the prohibition of cutting here. Even though one could have made quite a compelling argument that the whole issur of cutting here is the enjoyment that it gets, so if you cut your sheitel in a way that makes you feel good, one would have thought that should fit the criteria. Nonetheless, these achrenim held, it's not included in that ged. Reb Shlomo Zalman has another interesting piece in number 9. We talks about a shayla of Vinishra Rabbeinu. Someone asked Shlomo Zalman, Mishieshloi pitzoyim al ponov. Someone has some form of issue with his face. He has cuts on his face. Vasar hagadol sham matridoi. And the growing the long beard irritates it. So Reb Shlomo Zalman paskin that shvua shachalba tishuv av yesh lahater. That up to shvua shachalba, you can allow the person to cut his beard. Because again, same lomdis. Deinu isra elamun haga. Since the whole prohibition, similar to Rav Moshe was saying, that we never had this in a case where it's going to cause a loss of money. So Reb Shlomo Zalman said it's never going to exist. It was going to cause you a lot of pain. So if a person has a skin irritation and growing the hair long is going to cause some form of irritation or pain. So according to Reb Shlomo Zalman, up to shvua shachalba, he would be allowed to shave it for medicinal purposes. So that's all with regard to the issue of taking your haircut and what's included in that prohibition. The next major prohibition that we find is weddings. The Mechabin Shulchan Aruch Paskins in number 10. This is talking about during the 9 days. That you're not allowed to make chasanos, avala aris b'loy sudo. If you want to just have the erisin, you just want to give her a ring. That's it. No parties, no meals, nothing, no dancing, real cheap wedding. Just put a ring on a finger. Says the Mechaber, that's mutar afilu b'tishba. That's my mutar laris. You can do that even on tishba. Why? Shalei kadmenu achir, so no one should chaper up and no one should take. So the Mechaber holds clearly that weddings don't start from the 3 weeks. Comes along the Ramah. V'noigim lahachmir, but we have a minute to be machmir. She'ei noisim mishiv asa b'tamaz ve'edich. We don't make weddings already from shiv asa b'tamaz ad achar tishba. So this is one of the big distinctions between Ashkenazic and Sephardim, besides for the shaving, is weddings. Ashkenazim Jews stop making weddings already from Monday night, while Sephardim will continue to make weddings. So the question is, what do you do if you get an invitation to a Sephardish wedding? Right? Let's say you know a Sephardish person is making a chasana tonight, tomorrow night, whenever. Are you allowed to attend that wedding? As far as you're concerned, you can't go to the wedding because you're in Avelos. Can you still attend the wedding? Because for the Bali Simcha, the wedding is allowed. So in the Sefer Ashri Ish, they quote from Rabbi Yashuv. The Rabbi Yashuv said, Sephardi ha'isa chasana achi yizayim betamus. If a Sephardi makes a wedding after Shavas betamus, motel ashkenazim mishtatek bechasana. You can partake in the wedding. Ulech osham, you can eat there. Ulishmait his myras, you can listen to the music. Why? Given shahachasin oisa lefimin hoge al piadin. Because the chasin is doing what he's allowed to do. Therefore, yesh b'zeh mitzvah simchas chasim v'kalo. You then have a mitzvah to be mesameh chasim v'kalo. You're allowed to go to the wedding. The assumption would be, even though he doesn't say clearly, you go to the wedding, you dance, and you do whatever you normally do at a wedding. However, in the Sefer Kovetz Halachas, the Sefer written by Rabbi Kleinman, a Rav in Brooklyn, who's a Talmud from Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, he quotes from Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky a slightly different psak. An interesting psak. Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky holds no. He holds mutl ben Ashkenaz v'shtate b'simchas nesun shel Sfardi. You're allowed to go to the wedding. Obviously, it'll be live music. He can't dance. Interesting chiddush from Shmuel Kamenetsky. You can go to the wedding, listen to the music, enjoy the food, but you can't dance. Why can't you dance? What's pshat? So he says that they don't need you for dancing. You're showing up at the wedding is enough of mishtatef in simchas chasam v'kal. That's Shmuel Kamenetsky's lumbus. The only kasha is, is 1 second. There's a famous tshuva from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says, what happens during Svira, where someone's keeping a different Svira than you? So Rav Moshe has this tshuva, everyone knows, that you're allowed to go to the wedding. Because as long as the Bali Simcha have the right to make the wedding, you're allowed to partake. So why is this any different? So on the footnote, he writes over here, that even though Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky agrees that when it comes to Svira Sa'imer, he would tell you you're allowed to dance, he says, but Mimei Hatzarim is different. So he has a svar that he thinks that the avelos of the 3 weeks is more chomer than the avelos of sphere. Even though we saw the Moshe of Salvechik put the two together, he thought that the 3 weeks had the exact same status in Hilchas Avelos as sphere. He holds they're different. So Rabbi Forsheimer in Lakewood, one of the big paiskim today in Lakewood, he asked, he says, I don't understand. How can you show up to the wedding and not dance? He says, Dahari kudim heim letzorech mitzvah chasav akala. That's the Iker Simchas Chasav Akal. Showing up and eating is very nice, but that's not exactly why you were invited to the wedding. Why would it not be allowed? So he writes that Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky answered him. Reb Yaakov Forsheimer was a Talmud of Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky in Philadelphia Yeshiva. He's today a very big poisek in Lakewood. So he asked his Rebbe, he said, I don't understand. How can you say go to the wedding and not dance? That's defeating the whole purpose. So Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky answered him, V'heishiv ma'iv Rebbe Shlito, de'be'emes b'zeh shabal ha'chasen v'shtatev bo kvar simech b'az ha'chasen. You showing up at the wedding is good enough. That makes the chasen happy. Since you're ready with mekayim the mitzvah, there's no reason to dance. I don't know. I think it depends on the person. For some people, yeah, you want them to show up and just fill up the room. For some people, you talk, I want to dance with them. I think, you know, if a rabbi or a rebbe of the chasen shows up and doesn't dance, I think it would be a big breach in Simchas Chasen V'Kal. I think if, you know, the chasen's 14th cousin shows up and you see him at the chasen stage, I think that would be good enough. I think it might depend on the person. So this might be a mamash alumnus, a psychological machoikas over here of what makes the chasen happy. Is it just people filling the room or is it people dancing? So this was the opinion of, this is the opinion of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky that he holds, you can partake, but you can't dance. A very big chiddush. I'm going to get to that in a second. That's the next shayla we're going to deal with. So Rav Moshe Shtermich has a tshuva in Tshuvas Van Hagas Chelik Dalid, where he starts off saying similar to what we said, like Rabbi Yashiv seems to be saying that you're allowed to partake and do regular. But he writes at the end, he says, Lamaisa, if you can get away with not dancing, he says, let's say there's a huge circle dancing, and they don't really need you to add to the circle. Again, obviously if you're a big Rav or you're his Rebbe, you don't dance in the circle, it's going to ruin it. But if you're, you know, a regular person, you know, no one's really going to notice you not in the circle. There's 150 people in the circle. No one's going to notice one guy's missing. So he writes, it's not like you have this, you know, you do this great shtick in the front where you know how to, you know, break dance and juggle two chairs and fire on the thing. No one's going to really notice whether or not you partake in the dancing. He writes, so it's better not to dance. Similar to what we're seeing from Shmuel Kamenetsky, that if you could talk and get around the dancing, it's probably better. But l'chayra, it seems like from Rabbi Yashiv and others that you can go to the chasen regularly, partake, have a good time, and do what you would at a regular chasen. Okay, so that's going to the chasen. Let's talk about Ashkenazim for a second. Let's say you have Ashkenazim who made a chasen Sunday or Monday, and now they're in Sheva Brachas. Are they allowed to partake or have a Sheva Brachas with dancing? Or let's say even musical instruments. Let's say someone wants to make a Sheva Brachas tonight, and they want to have dancing afterwards, they want to have music. Would that be allowed for a Sheva Brachas? So this shayla is brought up by a couple of contemporary Gedolei Achrayim. There's a tshuva from Rav Menashe Klein. And Rav Menashe Klein says he had this shayla. A Talmud asked him the same shayla. A Talmud got married a couple days before Shavuot with Thomas, and he wanted the Sheva Brachas, and wanted to know they let it dance and have music at the Sheva Brachas. So he writes like this. This happened. They asked Tzvi Meiselish, who was in Chicago, Av Bezdin. He said, you're not allowed to. They asked Rav Moshe Feinstein. They asked Rav Moshe Vehitter. And Rav Moshe was matter. Now, what Rav Moshe was matter was not music. Rav Moshe was matter dancing. Rav Moshe didn't say you're allowed to have music. Rav Moshe said you could just have dancing. So that was Rav Moshe. Then they asked Rav Chaim Stein, and then he also said, Noita lahata rekudim v'loy mechalos. Rav Chaim Stein said, yeah, I think you could dance, no music. Okay, so we have a little bit of split amongst the Gedolei Achrayim over here. Then Rav Menashe Klein goes into a whole tshuva where he thinks they're all wrong, and he thinks you could do everything regularly. And he goes to rayas that during the Sheva Brachas, the chasen has a din of Simchas Chasen, and the chi of Simchas Chasen basically beats out everything, and therefore he's allowed to do whatever he wants. At the end of the piece, he writes, Lefiza Poshut, the Chalakruim Bechlal Heim. He thinks all those who partake are considered entourage of the chasen. Therefore, he writes, Lefin is dead, the heter, gomer, the semei chasen, the kal, achi zayim betamus, koshenosa, koidim yid zayim betamus. He thinks everything is mutter, even though he quoted all these gedolim, he thinks everything is mutter. So, halach lemaisa, it's a split. Some people hold you can't do anything, and some people hold you can have dancing, but no music. Rav Menashe Klein thinks you can have everything. Now, Many Achrenim held that today you don't really need to have music at a Sheva Brachas. Most of the Sheva Brachas that we have don't really have music. So you want to dance? Okay, so you could dance. So Shmuel Kamenetsky says he thinks you'd be allowed to dance because he thinks the dancing that you do at a Sheva Brachas is not really dancing anyways. Based on the famous Aruch HaShulchan in Simen Shin Lamedtes, where Aruch HaShulchan says you're allowed to dance on Shabbos. Why? Because Rikud, that the Gemara and the Mechaber Asur, that means dancing to a beat, doing a Hora. Most people, either on Shabbos or at a Sheva Brachas, they go in what we call the circle, in a round-around circle. That's not dancing. Many Achrenim disagree with that premise. They think that's dancing. But Shmuel Kamenetsky feels if you're going to do that at a Sheva Brachas, that's mutter. I always thought that it should depend on the type of Sheva Brachas. Meaning, many times Bachim have Sheva Brachas in Yeshiva. Those Sheva Brachas are all about dancing. That's the whole reason why you make it in Yeshiva, so you can have more dancing. As if the Chasana wasn't enough dancing, you have another round of dancing. So then I hear that if you're just going to sit around, it's not going to be such an enjoyable Sheva Brachas. You know, if you're going to have a Sheva Brachas at a restaurant, then the dancing obviously is not going to be the main focus. I wonder if it should depend on where the Sheva Brachas is taking place. But I think most Achrenim hold you could dance, but without the musical instruments. That's the opinion of Rav Moshe. That's the opinion of many Gedolei Achrayim. If you're going to, it's better not to have music. You should just have dancing.
So if you can have singing.
You can always have singing, because pastor's singing is not included. Okay. What?
What about clapping then?
Yeah, those things are fine. That's not really klezemer. That's not really instruments. Singing is mutter. If a person wants to sing, that would be mutter, but dancing is the problem. Getting up and having a rikud, that's what we'll see in a few minutes, that's really the prohibition, is having what's known as a rikud. A circular dancing, that's the prohibition. But as long as you're not doing that, it would be okay. That's why I think most achrenim, and Rav Moshe held that way, that you're allowed to have the dancing, but no music. But if you look at number 16, he writes over, this is from Shmuel Kamenetsky, Suda Sheva Brachas HaMiskayemes Bebein HaMitzarim, Yesh Lahokal Lahate Rikudim, you can have dancing, Avo Klei Shir Asur. But you would not be allowed to have musical instruments. Moshe Sternbach writes in number 18 that Linyan Rikud b'Sheva Brachas b'Mei Ben Amtzorim Nahakti Lemnoya. He held it's better not to. Kivin she'enzem minuk tomer l'rakah b'Sheva Brachas. You don't always dance at a Sheva Brachas. Well, what happens if this type of Sheva Brachas you always do dance? So he writes, Al-Kain Roy Lemnoya. V'chein Shemati Shahiri Lemaisa Mor Nagrin Abiyakov Kanievsky. That was also the opinion of the Stipler. No dancing at a Sheva Brachas. So it's a bit of a discussion in contemporary Achreinim, would a person be allowed to have dancing at a Sheva Brachas that takes place during this time? If you look in Maidim Uzmanim and Moshe Shtemach's other Sefer in the last Chelek. So that's where things, that's where we need to talk about this on a more lomdusha level, is what's the status of a chas and toich sheva brachas? Is the avelus nitche because of his mitzvah? A real avel, 100% right. A real avel, most of the avelus is nitche because of his mitzvah, simchas chas v'kal. So why is it not the case here? So that's one way of going. One way of saying is no, everything is pushed away because of his chi of simcha. Other achrenim say it's not like that, because since it's avelus derabim, it's not a private avelus, it's a community avelus, all of Klal Yisrael is in avelus, so even though he has his private regel, doesn't beat out avelus derabim. And one of the rais they bring is from the Magen Avram. The Magen Avram paskins that a chos in toich sheva brachas has to fast on all the dalat tanes. That's a big discussion in the Paiskim, but the Magen Avraham's opinion is he has to fast. So Shaila says, well, I don't understand. What happened to his Yom Tov beating out all the Dinei Avelus? The answer is that you see from over here, it's not the case. You see that although his Yom Tov is true, it's not enough to beat out the Avelus Derab. That's why many Achrenim held, he's talking not allowed to have music, but he could have, you know, lower level type of things. Rebbe Eliashiv in number 15 is quoted as saying, Rebbe Eliashiv held that music you can't have. Because again, since we don't always have music at a Sheva Brachas, it would be like an insult. But those people who talk normally do have music. Let's say if you have a Sheva Brachas in a yeshiva, where it usually is with music, then you talk a kud. Based on the way we were saying it, that it's going to be a zilzul. His point is that if you don't normally have music, why are you doing it now? But if you normally do have music, so then it is a kiyum of simchas chas v'kal, then it would seem like it would be permitted. Rav Moshe Sternbach has an interesting lomdus where he's mechalik between svira and during the 3 weeks. He thinks the 3 weeks we have to go beyond the normal rules, and he holds that we bedavka have to have miyat simcha at our simchas. He says from the pasuk that you have to be miyat simcha al roish simchasi. At our simchas, we have to gufa b'mamayit the joy. So he writes, that's why during the 3 weeks, he's more machmer than he would be during Sfiras Oimer with regard to music at a Sheva Brachas. So, if a person is going to be having a Sheva Brachas during this time, he should find out whether or not there's going to be allowed to have A, music, and B, there's dancing as well. So that's the argument the other way, is that Pashas, and we'll talk about this now a little bit more, is there a concept of miyat simcha already starting before Rosh Chodesh Av? There's an interesting Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara in Psachim, we're on the number 19 on the next side. The Gemara in Psachim in Daf Kuf Yeralf Mabez talks about a shade, two shades named Ketev and Meriri, which you can be found in Pashas Hazinu. The Pasuk refers to this thing called Ketev and Meriri. Ketev and Meriri, the Gemara tells us, are two shadim. The Gemara says one shade comes in the afternoon, one comes earlier. Agansa Gemara discussing shadim. The Gemara writes of the Psachim that Amalei at Shaita Kayem Talha Mechad Mitamuz at Shitza Bei Vadesh Chichi. The Gemara says about these two shadim, Ketev and Meriri, from the first day of Tammuz until the 16th, they're definitely there. Vadesh Chichi. Afterwards, they might be hanging around, they might not be hanging around. So it would come out that if a person wants to be careful, he should be extra careful during this time because there's a chance that these shadim might be hanging around. The Ber Halacha writes that a person should be extra careful during the first day of Tammuz until the 60th day of Tammuz because these shadim are floating around. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber has an interesting halacha. The Mechaber writes, in number 20, Tzarech Lizor Meshivasa B'Tammuz at Tisha B'Av. Person has to be careful starting from the 3 weeks until Tisha B'Av. Shloi Leilich Yechidi. That he shouldn't walk around by himself. Me'ar B'Shois at Tisha Shois. From 4 hours in the day until 9 hours of the day. Why? Dr. Amor, Meshum Shebehem Ketiv Meriri Shailit. That's when Ketiv and Meriri have power. So you see that it's a bad time to walk alone by yourself because the two shades in Ketiv and Meriri have power and they could harm you. So the Ber Halacha says, Yud Zayin B'Tammuz until Tisha B'Av. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says from the first day of Tammuz to the 16th day. So why exactly does the Mechaber say Shivasa B'Tammuz? So the answer is the Mechaber is coming off of the Medrash. The Medrash in Eicha says, not like the Gemara, the Medrash in Eicha says that Ketiv and Meriri have power starting from Bein HaMitzarim. From Shivasa B'Tammuz until Tisha B'Av. So now this is not an Avelus Halacha. This has nothing to do with mourning. This has to do with the fact that it's dangerous because these Shadim, I can't really tell you I understand much about what this stuff means, but these shadim, ketiv miri, they're shayla during this period. Therefore, a person should never walk alone during this time. Then the Mechaber adds one new halacha, v'layak ha-talmidim yom mehim. You shouldn't hit your talmidim during the time of Shavuos B'Tammuz until Tisha B'Av. That's why there's no yeshiva in the summer. You always wonder why it is like this. So you can recite this Mechaber, v'layak ha-talmidim. There's only one problem. The Paiskim all say it's not only talmidim, it's your children also. So that's why we send them to summer camp. So we won't do that either. But this is an interesting halacha. Mechaber Shulchan Aruch says you're not supposed to hit Talmidim during Shavuos B'Tammuz until Tisha B'Av. Why not? That seems to be a very strange halacha. So again, the way many Achrayim explained is that this is just not an Eitz Ratzon. It's a bad time. It's Ma'am Purani. It's not a good time to hit Talmidim. So there's an interesting Marsham. The Marsham writes in number 22, he quotes from the Eish Lavrom, Zeh Rak B'Chedesh Ein B'Mezuzah. That's only if you want to hit your Talmud in a room that has no Mezuzah. Avo B'Mokim Sheyesh B'Mezuzah. Imagine you take your time. Listen, I want to give you a... Let's go first into the room with the mezuzah. Then I can smack you. Then have a mezuzah shmira. Then the mezuzah becomes a shmira. Vein mazik hakoah doesn't damage you. As I brings the marsham. So that halacha of layaka talmidim, you can get around as long as it's in a place where there's a mezuzah. In Archas Rabbeinu, in the Sefer, where they talk about the minhagim of the stipler, so they quote from the Reb Chaim Kanevsky says, Omali agen Reb Chaim Kanevsky shlita, sheshal is marna chazinish. He asked the chazinish, hashakasa b'shulchan aruch, what does it mean? The Mechaber says you're not allowed to go out by yourself. How many times between the hours of 4 and 9 during the day do we walk by ourselves? We don't always have someone watch us. We go out by ourselves. What's the pshat? So the Chazidish answered to him, it's only a problem if you're going outside the city. If you're walking down the street, in the city, it's not a problem. So for most of us that stay most of the time in the city, this halacha is basically irrelevant. I guess it could be relevant for those people that travel, those people that are in the mountains, people that go to bungalow colonies, maybe that's considered chutz li'ir. I'm not sure what's considered the ear. For those of us who stay in the local, you know, greater New York area, we're in the ear, so we don't have to worry, according to the Chazanish, this halacha is not that relevant to us. Shmuel Kamenetsky comments in number 23, that he wants to know why is it that no one's really into this halacha. You don't find too many people being makpid. So he writes, people will go by themselves even outside the city. Why? Because we buy into the idea that there's no such thing as shadim today. The whole concept of shadim is gone. Since everyone's mekel, you don't have to be machmer. So even if you want to take a walk by yourself in the middle of nowhere, chutz li'ir, according to him, it would not be such a problem. So clearly we're being exposed to the idea that during the 3 weeks, there's besides for the avelus element, there's some concept of being zaman peronis. And based on this, many people have a minug that they won't do things that are somewhat dangerous during this time, because even though it's not the 9 days where we know we stay far away from things that are dangerous, even now already is a time not to do things that are dangerous. So they quote in the name of Yaakov Kamenetsky, Nemes Yaakov, he writes, Yesh lahakbid, so the gvayani tuchim misuchonanim. person shouldn't schedule, I guess, what you call dangerous surgeries. If you can wait, if you can push off, obviously if a person needs to have an emergency heart surgery, I wouldn't tell him to wait 3 weeks. But if a person has some form of an elective surgery, many contemporary Paiskim hold today any surgery where a person has general anesthesia is a shail of sakana, which is why he probably has to be gremel when he comes out of it. It's always dangerous. So if a person can push off a surgery, according to Rabbi Yaakov, it would be better to push off the surgery until after the 3 weeks. In the Sefer Mesiris Moshe, written by Rabbi Tendler, so he says the following story, number 27. Ubacher echad shoyel. A bacher asked Rav Moshe, im yochel lasis the tuach toicha yidbein ha-mitzarim. He wanted to have a surgery during the 3 weeks. The Ritzayin Alachal Yeshiva's brisk bears Yisrael Elzman El. He wanted to be able to get back to Yeshiva for Elzman. So if he waited till after Tisha B'Av, I guess he wouldn't be able to recuperate. It would ruin his Elzman. So he figured, I'll leave the Yeshiva early, get the surgery done during 3 weeks, and this way by Elzman, I'll be back in business. So he answered, L'maisa, we have this halacha, that it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not supposed to hit Talmidim, so you clearly see that it's not the best of time. So he asked Rav Moshe, is there a reason not to have a surgery? And Rav Moshe answered the Gavaldic alumnus. Rav Moshe wrote, Ava Mistavash is a rak b'hakosh bo liyaser. Rav Moshe said it's only when the intent of the hit is to cause pain. Obviously, we know that when you hit a Talmud or a child, your intent is not really to cause pain. Your intent is for a tayelis, but at the end of the day, you want there to be pain. So he writes, then ke'inyan shel hakosh shel kasu kedoyme. If the purpose of the hit is to cause pain, that's not allowed during the 3 weeks. Avol hakosh hu b'ritzoinoi u'tei v'asoi shel amekabloi. But if I pick and I ask to get that surgery done to me, einoi nichlal. Says Rav Moshe, then it's not included in the Mechaber's halacha of hitting a Talmud or doing things that are dangerous. Umemelo ad Rosh Chodesh Av yesh latirei. So up to Rosh Chodesh Av it's mutter. Avo betes yomim atzmam. But during the 9 days, then already there's a new svara of real bad mazel. Then a person should try to push off the surgery. That was Rav Moshe's opinion. So clearly, a machloek is gedei leachroidim. If a person should try to push off elective surgery, if he can push it off till after the 3 weeks, according to Rav Moshe, there's no such concept. You could do it in the 3 weeks. According to Rabbi Yaakov, it would be better to push it off. They quote from the stipler. The stipler had an interesting minhag, number 29, that the stipler held, he didn't let the kids go to the ocean during the 3 weeks. Va'amar, he said, Avshem Ikra did mutter. He said, I know it's mutter. There's no problem. The reason why I told him it's just not a good idea. Already from Shavas Batamas, the mazel starts to get bad. So going to the ocean, although it's not considered the Isra of being nana from the water, which we know is only 9 days, it's not a good idea to do things that are potentially dangerous, even though on a regular day you wouldn't think twice about it. It's better not to do it. In Rivvos Ephraim, Ephraim Greenblatt writes like this in number 28. He says, "V'shemati b'shem gadol echad, I heard from a certain gadol, dein lirchatz b'yam u'benahar u'bekriches shechaya kol agimul shvus. You shouldn't go swimming all 3 weeks. That's the stipple. That's where he got it from. And he writes, "Elim kin rochatz gimul pamim kaidim. Unless you already went 3 times before. What's the significance of going 3 times before? You know how to handle it. You know how the waves go, and you know how to handle what comes at you. If you're a first-time goer, then you shouldn't go during the 3 weeks. And he says he doesn't understand this whole thing. He doesn't understand the whole issur. So I would have suggested the issur is what the stipler is saying, that there's a bad mazel. So if you went before, and you have a little bit of an idea of what you're doing, so no. So then we assume that you can handle it. But if a person never went to the ocean before, it's a dangerous experience. People can get washed away. So it's better not to go. The most Paiskim don't accept this notion of the stipler. Even the stipler himself writes it as a chumrah, and we generally will do things that are dangerous during the 3 weeks also. Once we get to Rosh Chodesh Av, then we definitely won't do dangerous things, but during the 3 weeks I think most people are somewhat more makel with doing things that can be deemed dangerous because we hold the mazel gets bad only after Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so when we talk about haircuts, we'll go back to haircuts for a second. What about giving your children haircuts? So the Mechaber writes in Shulchan Aruch number 30, Asur l'gedoilim l'saper l'ktanim. That a gadol is not allowed to give a child a haircut. Even though, generally speaking, we have a principle that ain't avelos l'katan. A katan just doesn't normally have hilchas avelos. This is the exception, that an adult would not be allowed to give a haircut to a child. The question is why. So, if you look at the Mishnah Berurah writes, Tupshat, number 31, he writes, Diktanim nami shayach b'hu chinuch. Because it's a concept of chinuch even for a child. So all the achrenim say, but it's not true. Ain't avelos l'katan. It's all over mait katan, all over hilchas avelos. Ain't avelos l'katan. So there's a couple of ways around it. One answer is that the reason why ain't avelos l'katan is because we can hope and pray that this child will never grow up to have to be an avelos. Maybe Mr. Shem will outlive his parents, but he's not going to outlive the 3 weeks and the 9 days. Everyone has to experience the 3 weeks and the 9 days. So that's why yesh avelos l'katan. Inami, what's another answer? The reason why you're not allowed to give your child a haircut is because we want your kids to look disheveled. We want people to look at your kids and say, oh wow, he didn't get a haircut. Why? Churban Beis HaMikdash. Oh, you feel the Churban Beis HaMikdash much more, which is why they do Kriya. If a child loses a relative, they rip his baget. Why? Because everyone sees it, they say, oh, Nebuch, it breaks your heart to see a kid sitting shiva. So here also, if we see a kid that looks disheveled, it will create in our heart the feeling that Nebuch, we're all experiencing the Beis HaMikdash. So the Shaar HaTzion writes, so what's the nafkamina between the two reasons? If you have a kid who's shalai higi al chinuch, if the reason why we're not allowed to give a kid a haircut is because of chinuch, if he's shalei agil chinuch, then there's no chi of chinuch. Mashaykin, if it's also agmas nefesh, so then even if he's below the age of chinuch, it would still be prohibited. So the Shaar HaTzion says, the simple nafkamina would be a child under the age of chinuch. This Shaila Grata comes up a lot when they talk about upsharons. You want to make an upsharon during the 3 weeks. So many make the argument, 1 second. A kid is 3 years old, so there's no agil chinuch. So if there's no Agil Chinuch, then according to the first reason, it's not a Geir. Well, but you have Agmas Nefesh, so maybe Agmas Nefesh is a Cheshbon. So there's a big discussion amongst the more Chassidish Paiskim, who are the more to talk about upsharons in the first place, about whether or not you're allowed to make an upsharon during the 3 weeks. Many Paiskim held you could, that you would be allowed to make give a kid an upsharon during the 3 weeks. Now, the bigger Shiloh over here is, when the Mechaber said you're not allowed to give a kid a haircut, he was talking about in the Mechaber's world, which is only Asur haircut Shvur Shechalboy. What about for us Ashkenazim? Would us Ashkenazim not be allowed to give a kid a haircut even during the 3 weeks, or only during Shavuos Chalba? So the Mishnah Berurah has two sheets about it. If you go back to 31, Pei Beis, the Mishnah Berurah writes, "Ayin bel yerabo dilididon yesh lachem b'tisfayis mizayim b'tamaz v'kibus merosh chodesh." For us, that we're machmir haircuts even beyond the mechaber, so likewise we wouldn't be able to give a haircut already from Shavuos b'tamaz. But ubichayadim kasev the tzarich ktanim ein lahachmir. That when it comes to ktanim, you don't have to be so machmir. Af lefi minageinu el b'shabazu. So Mr. Brew is not machriya, had a paskin lahalacha, very big nafkamina. Would I be allowed to give a kid a haircut today? According to the first way of the Eliyahu Rabbah, you would not be allowed to. According to the Chayyim, you would be allowed to. So this shayla comes up with the question of whether or not you're allowed to, is a boy allowed to get a haircut before his bar mitzvah? Let's say if a boy gets bar mitzvah during the 3 weeks. So once he hits 13, so the shayla is a bar mitzvah enough of a chi of simcha that allows him to take a haircut? To which most achrenim say no. That a bar mitzvah is not enough of a chiv simcha that allows you to take a haircut. Fine. So let him take the haircut when he's 12, right before he turns 13, so he's still a katan. So if he's still a katan, even though he's a gil chinuch, maybe you can make the argument that as long as it's not shvur shechal boy, he'd still be allowed to take a haircut, as long as his parent gives it to him, or he gives it himself. So that's a discussion in achrenim. But halacha l'maisa, we don't go around giving kids haircuts, so if you see little kids around the street that look disheveled, that's because the parents are not allowed to give them haircuts, because we're machmer even with children. Let's talk about music for a little bit. That's the big thing during this time of year, is listening to music. So you're going to look very hard. You're not going to find too many poskim, earlier poskim before the, I don't know, 1900s, that talk about music. The earliest mention of this prohibition is based on a Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham writes in number 32, "Venerli the Asa Lasis Rikudim Umuchalis," that the prohibition is not so much music, but it's really dancing. Rikud u'mecholis. Shlomo Zalman talks about what's rikud, what's mecholis. One is one person, one's more of a circular dancing. But the real prohibition is dancing. It's not so much the music. The Magen Avraham doesn't say anything about music. He talks about dancing. He writes, what's this prohibition? The also last is rikud u'mecholis miyudzayim mitamaz ve'elach. Starting already from Shavuos, but tamaz is a prohibition of having dancing. Nothing to do with music. If we decided right now we want to just have a dance, that would also be prohibited. That's the whole shayla by Sheva Brachas. Since by Sheva Brachas, even without the music, just to have a dance is a shayla, that's why the issue comes up. So where does music work its way in? So many achreinim, the Aruch HaShulchan says, well, if you're not allowed to dance, you're definitely not allowed to listen to music. Even though, again, the Magen Avraham didn't talk about music. The Magen Avraham talked about dancing. But the Aruch HaShulchan felt that if you're not allowed to dance, you're definitely not allowed to have music. That's one mahalach. The other mahalach is Shlomo Zalman's way of saying it, is that the isra of music is that those songs that will bring you to dance. That type of music that's exciting, jumpy music that will motivate you to want to dance is asr, which is why Shlomo Zalman has it sad that if you're going to be listening to what's called classical music, or he calls it chazonis, or slow beat music that no one on earth in their right mind wants to get up and dance to it, that would not be asr. The third way of looking at it is the way Rav Moshe looked at it, and Rav Avad Yosef learned, is that really music should be asr a whole year. All year we shouldn't be allowed to listen to music based on the Gemara and Gittin because of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But that's too hard for us. So twice a year, we inconvenience ourselves and we push ourselves and we say, you know what, we're not going to do it. What are those 2 times a year? That's during the 3 weeks and during Sefiras HaOim. Now, it's interesting. I always wondered, what about Svardim? Are Svardim allowed to listen to music during the 3 weeks? So I would have thought, they don't know other restrictions. They don't have any Avelas based. So I found this year to me the Chiddush of the day. If you look in Yalkut Yosef, I found this both in Yalkut Yosef and in Or Litzion of Abba Shaul, they both write, V'asa l'lasa yishbikudum v'chalas achi yizayin tamuz. They held that even Svardim, follow this Magen Avraham, and they're not allowed to have dancing, or in that case, music, after Shavasa Batamos, Shaloi Litzarech Mitzvah Kisimchas Chasim, unless it's for a mitzvah. So not only are Ashkenazim not allowed to listen to music, Svardim are also not allowed to listen to music. And this is somewhat interesting, because for Svardim, they don't have any other avelus. They have other restrictions. This thing about hitting the Talmidim, which we mentioned is not avelus. It's because of bad mazel. But here it's interesting that they both write that this prohibition of Rikul Mechalos exists for both Ashkenazim and Sephardim. I'm not really sure why. How does that fit with the lumnus that we've always been discussing? That's the way they write. What about kids and music? This is a popular shayla. What about kids and music? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva, number 33, and he gives to Moshe. Rav Moshe writes, with regard to music, he says, to him it's pashut, that you should be machmir for ketanim shehegi l'chinuch. That ketanim that reached the level of chinuch, we should be machmir because avelos the rabbim, and we shouldn't let them listen to music. What exactly is the age of hegi l'chinuch? So pashut depends on each and every kid. Somewhere around 7, 8, 9, that age, you should be machmir and not let the kid listen to music. Someone called me up during Sfira. I think they told me the kid is 2 years. They wanted to know if the kid listen to music. So your kid's 2 years old, he can pretty much do whatever he wants. He's not even a gear to anything. So he can listen to music. So Rav Moshe held that a gear l'chinuch, you should try to have them not listen to music. Why? Because again, there's no svar over here of agmas nefesh. You can't say that people watch my kid, they see my kid walking around depressed because he's not listening to music. That you know, svar you don't have. You only have the svar of chinuch. So if it's only the svar of chinuch, then it only starts once he's a gear l'chinuch. So Rav Moshe writes, based on the svar we said earlier, that once he's a gear l'chinuch, you should try to refrain from the music. Okay, this today became the biggest shayla. Yeah, a cappella, no a cappella. What can you listen to? What can't you listen to? The answer is very simple. The Gedder Hadover is music that a person listens to bring him joy. If a person's driving in the car and he's going to fall asleep, or he's driving for a long trip and he gets headaches and he can't focus and he doesn't want to listen to politics, I don't understand why. If you're not sick about hearing about Russia yet, okay, so you want to put in music. So if a person's listening to music not for the purpose of Shir Simcha, he's doing it for another reason. Either he's doing it to keep him up, he's doing it so he doesn't get a headache, he's doing it so he doesn't fall asleep. In all those scenarios, then the music is permitted. Now, we have to be honest with ourselves. Yeah, it's not what they asked for. They asked for being nana for music. You're not doing it to be nana. You're doing it just so you should not, do something dangerous. Other achrayim talk about shayla, the people that are nebuch depressed, medically depressed, and they need the music not to make them happy. They need the music to make them regular, right? There's regular people, and then you want to be extra happy. Then there are people that are sadly in a depression where they're beyond what we call normal, and the music brings them up to normal. So the achrayim say that's also mutter. Someone called me during Sfira that they were dealing with a girl who mamish was serious depression issues. They want to know, could she listen to music? I said, avada, without a question. She's not listening to music to make her happy. She's listening to music just to make her regular. It might be, avada. So, people talk about listening to music to exercise. Again, the Yisrael Hadavar is listening to the music when the music is there to bring you simcha. If the music is not there to bring you simcha, it's there either to distract you, or it's there to keep you awake, it's all these other reasons, then the music seems to be mutter. That's your other shayla when you talk about background music and you talk about, the achrayim talk about if a person, has a cell phone and it rings to a song, or when they put you on hold and you're listening to the music, or you have geisha workers in your house and they're playing the music. Okay. I think we have to be smart about exactly all these cases and realize what the issue is.
Rabbi, the Alkid Yosef, which said recruited in Macaulay's industry, it's interesting. So music itself would be okay if it's fired.
I would assume not. I would assume, based on the Bavadja, that he
when he only asked the recruited.
Yeah, because that's really what's brought down in earlier achrayim.
But you say even the music?
I would assume so. That would be my gut feeling. Unless you want to split the two, I would assume both are aser. But maybe not. Yeah, right. I have to check if he directly addresses music versus just Rikin or Mechalis. The shayla that I get a lot now is, what about those people that are practicing musical instruments? You're learning to play an instrument, or you play an instrument. Can you practice during this time? So Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt has a tshuva, number 35, he writes, Nire, the Aladim Yechaylam Lomad Mazikia Ben Amitzarim, those people that are learning an instrument is mutter, Kizel Limud V'lay Hanah. That's learning, it's not fun. He says, V'chei Misha Parnasase Bekach, someone whose job is to play an instrument, Yochol Lase Shurim, he can teach, because that's also not enjoyable. However, to me, it would be posh if you have a guy who learned the instrument already. Now he just plays for fun. I think that's awesome. That's no tzatmi matter. That's not called practicing. You've been playing for 15 years. Now you want to have a jam session. That's, of course, awesome. That's the highest level of issur. That's mamash a musical instrument. So they talk about, let's say you have just one instrument separately. What's just one instrument separately? How much does it bring to the musical experience? A guy just is on a guitar, just the drums. Okay, I think the minhag is to be machmer. Just to play one instrument is also aser. Now, if you're practicing because you're not yet there, then maybe there's makom to be mekel. But if a person is already somewhat of an expert, and now it's just a question of a jam session, I think that would be aser. Rabbi Yaakov, interestingly enough, writes over here, "Hey, imutter lulma negina biyomelu." Can a person learn an instrument? So he writes, "Tshuva nirish avshem and adin mutter." By the letter of the law, it's mutter mikol makay. Nochin esvachik mizeh. It's better to get away from it. Shdenira muzar beina hanoshim. He thinks this is not something you should be busy with. They quote b'shem Rav Moshe that Rav Moshe held you could practice instruments, but you should try to do it b'tzina, which is what Rabbi Yaakov was coming to Lafuke. Rabbi Moshe said, try to do it b'tzina. Everyone shouldn't have to see you walking around with your guitar. Try to keep it as discreet as possible. Nechrein, talk about shayles. Let's say you're an Ashkenazi and you're hired to play music at a Sfada Shechasana. So, the Be'er Halacha quotes a Prima Gadin that says you're allowed to do it for Panasasi purposes. You're allowed to do it for Panasa. They talk about, let's say you're hired to play at a Goyish event. So there's two pshatim and achreinim. One pshat and achreinim why you're allowed to play at a Goyish event is because Panasa. One pshat is that when you play at a Goyish event, you don't enjoy it. You don't really enjoy what's going on. So what's the nafkamina if you want to play at a Sfaradisha wedding? If you're going to play at a Sfaradisha wedding, it's still Parnassa. If you're playing at a Sfaradisha wedding, I would assume you would enjoy it to see nice, good Jewish people being mishtatz b'simcha. You can't tell me you're not enjoying that. So the Achreidim want to set up that would be a nafkamina to whether or not an Ashkenazi could play at a Sfaradisha simcha. Halach l'maisa, the paiskim amekel, b'shum Parnassa, a person would be allowed to partake at such a, he would be allowed to play at such a simcha. The last halacha that pertains to the 3 weeks is reciting Shachiyon. The Mechaber writes in number 37, Toiv li zoir. It's better to refrain from reciting Shachiyona during the 3 weeks, al priya ya malbush, on a new fruit or on new clothing. But let's say you have a pidyon aben that comes up, then you should make the bracha, so you shouldn't lose out on it. So the Mechaber seems to hold that some form of prohibition of reciting Shachiyona during the 3 weeks. The question is, what's wrong with reciting Shachiyona during the 3 weeks? Secondly, the Mechaber himself doesn't hold it the 3 weeks, as we keep on mentioning. So why would the Mechaber say, you're not allowed to make Shachiyona? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes over here from the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham writes in number 37, we know that Allah is an Avil, is allowed to make Shachiyona. So the answer says the Magen Avraham, it's not a Halachas Avelos. It's not at all about Avelos, because an Avel is allowed to make Shachiyonu. What's it about? It's because it's not a good time. We don't want to make the say those words, Shachiyonu, Vikimanu. I'm happy to be here. I'm not happy to be here. It's not a good time. Therefore, it's not right to say Shachiyonu. The Hagro bibi'ur chaylik azeh. The Gro argues, because he asks the Magen Avraham's Kashi, he says, I don't understand. There's no such halacha that an Avel can't make a Shachiyonu. And therefore, the Gro calls this whole thing a Chum Yaseir. So, it's a machloikis achrein between the Magen Avraham and the Gro. Is Yaseir Isser Shachiyonu based on Avelos, or is it based on Zman? One of the big nafkaminas is, would you be allowed to make the bracha of atoiv v'hametiv? The bracha atoiv v'hametiv is recited a couple times it can be recited. Firstly, it's recited if a person has a baby boy. If a person has a baby boy, the bracha is atoiv v'hametiv. This is a very lost halach. A lot of people don't know about this. If a person has a baby boy, then mom and dad, maybe even grandparents, recite the bracha atoiv v'hametiv. If a person has a baby girl, then mom and dad recite the bracha shachiyonu. Rabbi Yaakov writes, he doesn't know why people are not makbid on this bracha. I can tell you why. Because right when you have a baby, there's a million other things going on, and the last thing on your mind is making a bracha. I go out and tell the couples that I deal with, I tell them, shavim, you know, right away, when you have a baby. So for the women, we give them a little time, they should at least clean themselves up with, they should be rower to make a bracha, but you should try to make the bracha right away. So the other time you make atoiv ametiv is if you're a wine drinker, and they bring a better bottle of wine, then you make atoiv ametiv. There's a third time you can make atoiv ametiv, where Moshe Feinstein talks about in a tshuva, if you buy a car. Rav Moshe talks about if you buy a car that benefits the entire family, so then you don't make a Shachiyonu, you make a Toiv HaMeitiv. So the Shaila is, if a person wants to buy a car during the 3 weeks, would he be allowed to buy a car? So Rav Moshe in the Tshuva discusses if you're buying a car for your own use, or for business use, if you're buying it for the kids and the family. So Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, if you're buying a car for you and your family, then you wouldn't make a Toiv HaMeitiv, and that a Toiv HaMeitiv is allowed to be recited during the 3 weeks. I said, why can I make a Toiv HaMeitiv and I can't make a Shachiyonu? The answer is because the wording of the bracha is the difference. The Shachiyonu has the words V'Higyonu L'Zman HaZeh, while a Toiv HaMeitiv doesn't have those words. So we pask in Allah L'Maisi, you're allowed to make a Toiv HaMeitiv, while you're not allowed to make a Shachiyonu. That's the way we pask it. So a person would be allowed to buy a car during the 3 weeks, it wouldn't be a problem because it doesn't make a Shachiyonu. If he buys a car for just himself, for his own personal use, then it's a problem. Because then he has to make a Shachiyonu that you're not allowed to make during the 3 weeks. If you're buying a new car just for yourself, so some Achrenim say the best eitzah is don't buy it straight up. Owe a little bit of money on it, so therefore you're not really buying it, so you don't make a Shachiyonu. Yeah, I don't think leasing is buying. I don't think the person would make a bracha on a lease. It's not real ownership.
The Mishnah Berurah says that if your father dies and you're going to inherit, then you say Shachiyonu.
That's correct.
So that's the ultimate of Shachiyonu during a bailiff.
All right, so that's the right. The reason is because that Shachiyonu is not, you can't say that the reason why we don't make Shachiyonu is not because of Avelos. It's because of the word Shachiyonu v'kimonu v'genu z'man hazeh. That's the way the Magen Avraham understood it. So therefore, we pass in Halacha Maaseh, we do make a Toiv HaMeitiv, either on wine, or if a person is buying a car, or if a person has a baby boy, we would make a Toiv HaMeitiv. But Shachiyonu, we try not to. So this Halacha is, yeah. This Sheikh Yano Halacha is almost not negeya for most of us, because most of the common things that we buy doesn't carry a Sheikh Yano. However, if a person were to buy something which is chashiv, if a person were to buy a new suit for the first time, to him it's a big deal. Again, this Sheikh Yano is very subjective. For you, buying a suit is no big deal, you don't make a Sheikh Yano. If you buy a new suit every other day, so you're not going to make a Sheikh Yano. If a person buys a suit every 8 months, and to him it's taka simcha, then he will make a Sheikh Yano. So what do you do then? So the Mishnah Berurah passes, you can make a Sheikh Yano on Shabbos. So therefore, in that case, if a person is going to buy a new suit, he should try to put it on for the first time on Shabbos. Since we hold the Sheikh Yano is recited b'shas levisha, not b'shas kinyan, so he should try to wear it on Shabbos. Because since on Shabbos the Mishnah Berurah is machriya, because since the whole thing is machlokes achrayim, he held on Shabbos you can make a Sheikh Yano. The Aruch HaShulchan holds you can make a Sheikh Yano up to Rosh Chodesh. That's the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan, but most of us follow the Mishnah Berurah that says Sheikh Yano is only recited on Shabbos. So if a person is going to buy something that requires a Sheikh Yano, which again, there are very few scenarios that you're going to make such a big purchase that needs a Sheikh Yano. But any other purchase that a person makes that does not carry a Chiyuv Sheikh Yano, there is no such restriction from buying. However, there is an Aruch HaShulchan that I'm going to mention that holds not like that. There's an Aruch HaShulchan that writes, number 40, he writes, Anachnu Mainim Atzmeinu Meluvosh Beged Kodosh. Choshev mitzayim betamuz v'afilu b'shabbos. Big chiddush from the Aruch HaShulchan that he holds that we don't buy new things that are choshev, whatever that means, already from shavas betamuz. And this is based on a maril. Maril has a chiddush that the maril held that we're a memait besimcha already starting from shavas betamuz. So based on this, Shmuel Kamenetsky passes that a person should not paint his house during shavas betamuz. That's considered too much simcha, and that's not allowed already from shavas betamuz. Rav Moshe Feinstein disagreed. He held it's only a problem during the 9 days, maybe shul shachalboy. But that's this chiddush of the Aruch HaShulchan, widely not accepted in contemporary paiskim. We hold any purchase that does not require a Sheikh Yanu would be allowed to be done during the 3 weeks.